Hi, and welcome to That's My Purse Pod, the podcast all about King of the Hill. I'm Jason.
I'm Jimmy.
So you went to a comic convention recently. How was that?
It was great. Pretty chill. Spent too much money on like fan art. If you guys haven't been to Comic-Con or any convention before, there's this area called Artist Alley, and it just has a whole bunch of kind of, imagine if Etsy shops were in real life. It's just like a whole bunch of Etsy artists kind of like have their own like fan pictures and drawings and stuff. And I always buy so many of them, and I don't have enough wall space.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, I don't think I've ever... No, I do have some art that I've gotten from the comic convention, so I do know exactly what you're talking about. I don't have nearly as much as you do, but I do remember that I have straight up bought some before, so...
I have decided, though, because I have... Gosh, well... Oh, you can see behind me. There's some art painting behind me. That's just a fraction of what I have. But I have decided that I'm going to get kind of like an art portfolio and try to make my own like coffee table book with all the prints and art pieces that I have. That way people can flip through it when they come visit me. I don't know. I'm just trying to make sense of what my spending habits are.
That's nice. Oh, you know, I mean, you gotta like what you like, you know, you gotta, it's important to be able to spend some money on things that you actually enjoy. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's the point in having money if you never actually enjoy it? Granted, you also have to be like smart about it, but yeah, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. I am always a sucker for like a mashup. They're like, oh, Sonic characters dress as Winnie the Pooh characters. I'm like, I need that in my life, right? Or it's like Bob's Burgers family dressed up as the Addams family. I'm like, I need that. And that's how they get me.
I remember one of the ones we went to in Dallas, gosh, whenever that was. Gosh, seems like forever ago. There was a guy who was doing like the King of the Hill Batman or whatever, and the guys were like fixing the Batmobile. That one was really funny.
Yeah. Man, we need to plan a convention together sometime. You guys have some good ones over out there.
Yeah, I think we do. I haven't been to any in a while, but in a long while. I think the last one I went to was when I went to Comic-Con in San Diego with you, and that was like, what, 3-4 years ago?
Yeah, it's great. Man, was that the last Comic-Con?
No, because they had one the next year, and I remember you were like live texting me all the stuff that they were announcing. Yeah.
Okay, I can't remember. It's been so long. And then now it's about to happen again. And I'm stuck at home. But it's okay. Hopefully we'll see the news, though. I'm not too worried about that.
Oh, yeah, there's always, like, this weekend is going to be a ton of trailer drops. Easy. Either, like, full trailers or teaser trailers. Obviously, like, a lot of the actual full trailers will only be shown to the people who are actually in the hall, but then they'll drop like the teaser trailers on YouTube as shortly after they play them in the hall and stuff. So, you know, I'm hoping for a Black Panther, at least a teaser trailer. Like, I feel like we know nothing about what's going to happen in the movie. I mean, it's done filming. It's pretty much wrapped and ready to go. It's coming out in November. So, but, you know, they've been pretty hush-hush on everything about that film.
Yeah, I'm excited for Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. It's going to be awesome because we're going to get Riri Williams. And I really want that character to work. It just, she's having such a hard time in the comics. I feel like it's a cool Iron Man spin. So I'm hoping it works out in the movies.
Yeah, I mean, it's unknown what they're going to do. So I know the only thing that they've said, and who knows if they changed their mind, because this was like months ago or years ago, actually, when I heard it, was that they had no intention of recasting T'Challa. So like in honor of Chadwick Boseman, they weren't going to do like the CGI resurrect him or whatever, and they weren't going to recast him with somebody else. And I know, like, canonically in the comics, there have been other people besides T'Challa who've had the Black Panther title, so it's not that unheard of or that unlikely, but we'll see what happens. Like, it could pass down to M'Baku or Shuri or something. Who knows?
Well, I do know that the Marvel Comics have been pushing a Shuri-Killmonger team up lately. So I don't know if they're trying to get us ready, like, used to the idea of those two being together. Because, I mean, Killmonger could still be alive.
I guess they could resurrect him, but he is effectively dead. Then again, they have that whole weird thing at the end. Now, granted, who knows? Maybe there were still some seeds hidden or whatever. But, like, you know, Killmonger has the entire, that entire, heart-shaped herb, that whole field or whatnot, he has it burnt down. And so, theoretically, there couldn't be another Black Panther. But then again, maybe somebody was, like, I don't know, maybe there was, like, a seed vault or something in the back where they keep them just in case something did happen to the flowers.
I don't know. I definitely think Shuri is going to be doing some Black Panther-y stuff, because she got injured on set, which means she's doing a lot of stunts.
Yeah. Well, she did stunts in the other one, too. But we'll see.
Well, we shall see. But I just found out today, because I was watching some other thing, about Daniel Kaluuya, because he's not going to be in Black Panther 2.
No.
Because it conflicted with him filming Nope. And Nope's coming out, and I'm super excited to see Nope.
I'm a little upset that we don't have Daniel Kaluuya coming back, because he is, like, a really good actor. But at the same time, I guess it's all right. Is Winston Duke coming back? I think he is.
He's got to. I mean, what's Winston Duke up to?
That's true. I don't think he's in Nope, so he's probably on the free calendar.
Though I do wonder if Daniel Kaluuya was like, I owe Jordan Peele. Because, like, didn't Jordan Peele basically discover him and Get Out?
I know, yeah, he did, pretty, like, much like
your episode before that. But
Yeah, he was still kind of a small name prior to, I think, Get Out is what really put him out there.
Yeah, and now he's an Academy Award winner.
Oh yeah, like let's just be honest, if it weren't for Get Out, he'd probably still be doing, like, he'd still be on TV.
I mean, Black Mirror's great though. We need more Black Mirror.
Another season's coming out.
Oh, I'm excited. Even though it freaks me out. After I watch Black Mirror, I need to, like, calm myself down. I need to be away from technology, actually, after a Black Mirror episode.
Yeah. No, I feel the same way, but it's so good. Like, I can't not watch it. The thing is, like, so many of them have twists and stuff that they don't have a lot of replayability value once you, like, know the twist or whatever. Some of them do, some of them don't. But, they have started casting and they're starting to film. And, season 6 is on the way for Black Mirror.
Oh, dude, we should do a Black Mirror podcast. It wouldn't be a podcast that we did together if I don't suggest doing another podcast together. But we should do a Black Mirror podcast.
It is a really good show. And it's like, it's not that unrealistic either. Like, obviously a lot of the stuff there is just technology that just doesn't exist today or whatever. But it's also, like, they do a good job explaining, like, some of the science behind it to where you're like, oh, yeah, this could actually happen.
Oh, yeah. It just feels like it's like something that's already existing in the world. And they're like, what if we turn it up slightly? You know, like,
yeah.
What if we were like, okay, we're already heading this path. But what if we headed this path, but then we took this turn?
Yeah. Like, oh, this could definitely happen in, like, 20 years, like, as technology matures. Mm. That's what I think. Like, most of the episodes, I'm like, okay, we can't make a copy of somebody's thoughts today or somebody's consciousness today. However, in 50 years, maybe we could. Like, once we've fully mapped out the human brain and figured out all that stuff, then we can do that.
True. Man. Now I'm gonna No, I'm not going to watch Black Mirror before I go to bed. That's a bad idea.
Yeah. The one I'm always going to like, the one I keep forgetting what the episode's called, but it's the one with like the where like you can rate people in real life.
Oh, Nosedive?
Yes, there you go. Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That season. Yes,
that one has always been a favorite.
That season has an episode in it that messes me up. It's called Shut Up and Dance. It's about this kid, and he's kind of being blackmailed.
Yes, I know which one you're talking about. Yep.
And the twist ending to that. That yep. one, I actually say, you should. Sorry, this is a Black Mirror podcast. But that one, episode 3 of season 3, Shut Up and Dance. After you watch and you find the twist out, go back and watch it again. And it changes the episode now for you.
Yeah, now knowing you have that little context.
Yeah, and you see how this character interacts with people, and you're like, oh wow, this is totally. Now I read it in a whole different light. Oh man.
Yeah, that one's a good one. I like the Black Museum. That one was a pretty good one.
Oh yeah, speaking of Black Panther, yeah, Letitia Wright.
Yep, she was in that episode. San Junipero, whatever it's called. That one's a good one.
That one's just a nice one to watch. It's very sweet. Crocodile. I don't know if you remember Crocodile with the insurance agent.
Yep.
That one's a tough one to watch too.
Oh, the Hang the DJ one. That one was kind of an interesting one because dating apps are a thing. And like I can only imagine like maybe in 20 years or whatnot, the algorithm gets so good that it like actually predicts like how long you will probably date this person successfully. So remember, it tells you like, oh yeah, it matches you with this person and you two are supposed to be together for 2 months or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or you are only supposed to be together for a weekend. Or you're supposed to be together for 3 years. Like, that one was a pretty interesting one.
That one's a good one. That's a nice one to watch. You can watch that before you go to bed. I think if you're only going to watch one Black Mirror episode, though, it needs to be White Bear. The one where the lady wakes up and she's like in this weird town.
And yes.
Like, her. You have to watch that one. It's just, it so sums up like all of Black Mirror for me.
Yeah, I did like that one. I also liked, what was it called? It was called, oh gosh. It's the episode with John Hamm. Oh, White Christmas. Oh, there White you Christmas. Go.
Yeah. That one's like a movie length, I believe. It's like an hour. An hour and a half. It's one of the longest episodes. Yeah. But that one's good. Ending's good to that, too. Yeah,
all of them are great. Like, you can't.
A Black Mirror episode. And the cool thing is they don't really connect. So you can kind of just pick and choose what you want to watch.
Yes, absolutely. So, yeah, here's hoping that Black Mirror season 6 comes out soon.
And we get a Black Panther trailer.
Yes, both. I would love both.
Yeah.
But now, until then, we can talk about King of the Hill. So let's jump on into it. So this time we are going to do, this is probably the longest title, and it's from the final season of King of the Hill, season 13, episode 9. It's What Happens at the National Propane Gas Convention in Memphis Stays at the National Propane Gas Convention in Memphis. This one is a very Buck Strickland-centered episode. But it also kind of dives into Buck and Hank's relationship a little bit. And yeah, it's overall a really good one. Largely because I think we finally see more in depth between Hank and Buck and kind of Hank finally letting loose and whatnot. So the episode starts in at Strickland Propane, and Buck is locked in his office. And all the people, the employees, are standing around because they're concerned. Because they're like, he closed the door like an hour ago, and he hasn't come out. And so they're worrying like, oh, he's either, you know, passed out drunk or he's possibly dead. So Hank's like, all right, I'm going to go in. And then Joe Jack gives him the defibrillator just in case. But, you know, as Hank's about to walk in, Buck walks out, and he's like, hey, I was just on the phone with a National Propane Consortium, and they're inducting me into the Hall of Flame. And Hank is just so honored and stuff to hear about that. And Buck's like, you know, yeah, I climbed to the mountain, but you were my Sherpa. You're the one who helped me get there, so I want you to come to the convention and do the intro for me. And, man, Hank is honored for that. And then Buck Buck says, you know, hey, let's all have a breakfast whiskey, which kind of alludes to his behavior. We're at the Hill House, and Hank is explaining to Bobby what the special blazer is that they give to the inductees of the Hall of Flame. And it's essentially, they call it the Rainbow Blazer. And it essentially graduates from, like, blue to, like, red to orange, all the way up to white, like a flame supposed to. Hank doesn't get to wear one, and he's pretty much accepting of that. He's just like, but, you know, standing next to Buck while he gets one is the closest I'll get. But then he's concerned because he thinks Buck will blow it because he's going to be in Memphis and he's going to give into his appetites, drinking, gambling, trying to pick up women, all that stuff. And Peggy is like, you know what? I think you can handle it, but I can come too because I'm a pro fun blocker. And then Hank's like, you know what? You're right. I think if with both of us, we should be fine. So they go to Memphis, and they're at the conference. It's like at a hotel convention center type thing. And they never really explain it. I guess they just want them there, but the guys are there too. Like, I don't understand why the guys would be at a Dale, Bill, and Boomhauer would be at a propane convention, but they are there, and they're riding an electric bull, but it's made out of propane tanks. And Hank's excited because he's like, man, this is my Super Bowl, but... Yeah, then he's a little concerned because Melanie Scovel, who is like the concierge to the honorees and the VIPs of the conference, comes up and it's like, oh, where's Mr. Strickland? And Hank's like, oh, no, I lost sight of him. Where is he? And then he turns around and he sees, oh, Buck's doing fine. He's, you know, he's mixing and mingling and he's sober and he's confident and everything. So Hank's like, oh, there's no issues. So Peggy splits and goes to a prayer breakfast. Here's good enough time to stop and make commentary. I think it's funny that Peggy sees herself as a fun blocker because that seems antithetical to the Peggy we've seen in previous episodes.
I think it's just Peggy's like trying to be like, I'm the master of anything. If you need a fun blocker, I can be a fun blocker. If you need a party starter, I'm the party starter. She's just seeing her way in.
Yeah, I guess so, because it's like she's always trying to be the cool, hip person and be awesome, and she likes to believe that everybody loves her, but then all of a sudden it's like, oh, no, I'm the fun blocker, but you make a good point. She is probably just like, nope, this is just what I do. Like, I block fun. Nobody likes I can do anything you tell me to do, I am going to be amazing at, so if you tell me to ruin somebody's time, I am going to do that in an amazing fashion.
I love the scene where Bobby is so fascinated by the blazer. He's like, Dad, tell me the blazer story again.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. I mean, I guess it does sound like something Bobby would do, to be quite honest, because he's just, I don't know, he's Bobby. He's kind of in his own little universe. But at the same time, it is kind of weird because it's like, tell me about the blazer again, Dad.
I do love when he's like, my mom, he's like, the Rainbow Blazer. And there's that second where Hank's like,
Yeah.
But he allows it.
I also like how everybody's just like accepting of his behavior a little bit. Like they're like, oh, he must be passed out drunk in the... in his office or whatever, like obviously they were concerned, but they were also just like, yeah, that sounds like something Buck would do.
Oh, and I love anytime we get Joe Jack, just, I just like, what does he say? Honey or something like that.
Yeah. He says honey a lot.
If you're the better, honey. and breakfast whiskey. What a great place to work at. It seems like they've had it before. The way Buck is like, who wants breakfast whiskey? And everyone's like, yeah. It's like, yeah, we've done this before.
Yeah, they are. man, Buck is definitely an alcoholic, and he brings that to work with him, and I think just nobody cares. Probably because it's like he's the boss, so people are just like, you know what, as long as I keep getting my paycheck, I'll put up with it.
Yeah.
So now we're back in Memphis, and they're looking at the they're looking around, and they see a booth for Strickland Propane, and Buck's like, man, I asked for a booth near the men's room. This is unacceptable. But then they look at the program and realize that there are two Strickland Propanes on the docket. There is a Strickland Propane from Arlen, Texas, and one from Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And so Buck is furious that somebody's stealing his business name and everything. He goes up to the booth, and they say, you know, remember, taste the meat, not the heat. And, you know, Buck's like, oh, you've stolen my business name and like 90% of my slogan. And then it turns out that this guy is actually Buck's illegitimate son. Buck calls him Ray Roy because he can't remember his name. He's like, is your name Ray Roy? And he's like, my name's Jody, but you can call me Ray Roy if you want. And so Buck offers to buy him a drink while Hank covers. And Hank gets a little concerned because he's like, okay, something's going to happen. Again, the dudes are there and they're kind of all chatting with Hank. And Hank tells them that, you know, Buck and his son are pretty much the same person. The apple didn't fall far from the tree. But Dale thinks that Hank is really just jealous of Ray Roy because Ray Roy is his actual son and Hank wants to be Buck's son. Hank is not thrilled by this idea. He's just like, no, it's just because Buck needs to, you know, this is an important day and he needs to act professionally and blah, blah, blah. Strickland returns to the booth and he's incredibly disheveled, you know, hair is messed up, jackets kind of wrinkled, shirts untucked, all that stuff. And he goes up to get to grab some stuff and bounces with his son. And Hank is just like, hey, what are you going to do? And then he's like, oh, we're going to go out. And it's like, you know, hey, what's that bad part of Memphis called? Memphis. So, which is kind of funny because, granted, I don't know. I have never been to Memphis. I don't know what it's like nowadays, but I've known in the past people have told me that, like, yeah, Memphis is a really dangerous city. So it's just kind of funny to hear that. And Hank's like, hey, there's a 3 p.m. reception. You need to be back for that. And Buck just ignores him. And yeah, it's clear that Ray Roy is just a younger version of Buck for the most part. Peggy goes to this breakfast, and she is like the newest one at this prayer breakfast. And apparently, you know, it's the prayer breakfast is not, I wouldn't say it's not real, but like that's not the ultimate goal of it all. They guess it's like, oh, this is a place to mix and mingle with the powerful women. And there's what they call the Platinum Circle, which I guess typically has four women, but right now has three because one of the women has become an owner of a propane dealership. But it's like, yeah, like the wives of the three most powerful propane men in America. And Peggy's like, oh, there's an opening. I think I'm going to try to get into it. And yeah, so that kind of becomes her goal. Back at the booth, Buck is not there. Scoville comes up, and she is super upset because this is not Hall of Flame behavior to not appear to your reception and anything. So she gives Hank the Hall of Flame jacket to give to Buck so that he can wear it at the event the next day. And, yeah, Hank is just like, Hank's not happy. Buck meets his long-lost son. He even alludes to him in an earlier episode. He's like, because I forget exactly which episode, but there's like one where he talks about having a son, and then Hank's like, it's almost a throwaway line. Hank's like, oh, I didn't know you have a son. Yeah, some other woman. His name's Ray Roy, something like that. So, hey, we finally got to meet Ray Roy, or actually Jody, but hey, I do like how he is like, it kind of pushes that nature versus nurture idea. Now, granted, we never know exactly how Buck Strickland's father or parents or how his upbringing was. So maybe they just had very similar upbringing. But it is just kind of funny to see that they are pretty much the same person.
Oh, yeah. And they look the same. I guess they were drawn to look the same. But it's cool seeing them side by side. You can imagine what a young Buck would look like. I don't know why I always gravitate towards like a fun Peggy line storyline, but I like Peggy's kind of like, how do I find my way into this women's club, the Platinum Circle. I also like how the only reason one of the women left was that she became an owner of the propane company.
Yeah. Well, because it's the Platinum Circles for wives and wives of owners, and she's not a wife anymore. She's an owner, so she moved on, which I guess makes sense. But yeah, it is kind of funny that that did lead up to an opening. Yeah, Peggy's always trying to like social climb and everything, and it's just funny how Buck went from going back to Buck. It's funny how he went from being like calm, collected, and everything to now he's just degraded to his like his basic instincts just because of his son being there. And I think it's one of those things where I think at first maybe it was not honest, that's not the word I want to use, but like Buck was really thinking to himself like, oh, here's the man that I abandoned. Let me try to do a make good here and build a relationship with him and everything. But then because their personalities are too similar and the fact that they like to chase women and get drunk and party hard and everything, just led Buck down the wrong path.
It is. Well, I mean, it doesn't take much to get Buck down the wrong path.
True, but you'd think he would at least behave at an event honoring him, but I guess not always.
In Memphis? No.
Have you ever been to Memphis?
No, but I've only heard what you've heard, so I believe it. I believe everything I hear.
I kind of want to go to Memphis one day just out of curiosity. Also, I hear they have, like, it's not like Texas barbecue, but it's good. Like, you know, Memphis-style barbecue, Kansas City-style barbecue, St. Louis barbecue. I wouldn't say that one's necessarily better than the other, but obviously Texas brisket is, like, superior. But they all have, like, their own kind of flavor that is good in its own right. And I'm kind of curious what actual Memphis-style barbecue would taste like.
I always thought Memphis was sweeter.
I guess. I guess, but it's also, like, I feel like you actually have to go there and not go. Like, not too far from me, there is a Memphis-style barbecue place, which, by the way, don't get barbecue in California. The worst barbecue in Austin tastes better than what you can find in California. So,
we got some bad barbecue here.
I don't know.
I'm not too picky about barbecue. I'll eat at Rudy's all the time. I don't care that it's like chain-ish. Rudy's is still good.
I feel like Rudy's is like the floor. Like Rudy's is like the base level of barbecue. And like,
okay. I'm going to say something that's controversial. You can kick me off the podcast after this, but I think Franklin's barbecue is overrated.
No, you're fine. I actually agree with you. Like, it's fine. It's fun to go for an experience, but I do not understand the benefit of standing in line for 3 hours to get barbecue.
I think they create their own hype because they only make a certain amount of brisket per day, which I just feel like creates the, like, we have to wait for it. So it creates their own hype. I mean, it's good brisket. It's just like, for me, it's not worth waiting in line. Mm-hmm. And I wait in line for Marvel at San Diego Comic-Con. That's worth waiting in line. The brisket, it wasn't like, I don't know. Can I say orgasmic? If I can't, just cut this part out.
The brisket is good, but it's not waiting in line for 3 hours good.
Yes. So those are my brisket opinions. Maybe we should take a trip to St. Louis or Memphis.
Yes, just for the barbecue. Oh, I'm glad that it was, because I kind of agree with you on the Franklin thing. I thought, like, the only thing that you could have said about barbecue that would have got me to kick you off the podcast is if you're like, Bill Miller's is actually really good barbecue. Like, that would have been like, okay, you're not welcome anymore.
I also think Salt Lick is overrated barbecue. It's good for what they do, which is like an all-you-can-eat brisket, ribs, and sausage. It's not like the best brisket, ribs, and sausage I've ever had.
I can appreciate that.
But it's cool to see their little pit. So if you're in Texas, in the Central Texas area, check out Salt Lick. There's not a long wait for that. And it's bring your own beer. So There's that.
It's got that the one in Driftwood, Texas has just that huge like dining hall. Mm-hmm. So there's no way. I mean, I guess there are times it can fill up, but generally speaking, no.
I will say I keep interrupting us from moving on. If we do go to Memphis, we must get white jackets and then dye them.
Yep.
To the flames. What is it called? The Hall of Flame
yep.
jacket? Yeah, we must do that if we take a trip there.
I'm all for it. Well, while they're doing that, let's catch up with Peggy. She is at a casino playing with the prayer circle, prayer breakfast group, whatever you want to call it. The wives of the owners, if you will. And she sees the Platinum Circle girls at like I want to say it was a blackjack table or something. I'm not a big gambler, so I don't know all the games. And she invites herself in. And, you know, she's like, oh, you know, my husband is the number one employee of this year's Hall of Flame honoree and stuff, or inductee. And, like, one of the women's like, my husband's the president of the consortium. And so Peggy's like, you know, she's taken it back, like, oh, I shouldn't, kind of thinking I shouldn't be here. But the women liked her, like, you know what? Yeah, they got to come and sit down, so you can stay. So they let her stay and hang out. At least for this point in time. Bobby and Joseph have a really, really small part in this show. So we could probably just cover both of them here real quick because they also aren't that important to the story. Well, this part is. But Bobby and Joseph are just sitting, people watching while they're drinking. And they see Hank running around like an idiot looking for Buck. Later, they try, for whatever reason, they decide they want to try to sit in all the chairs in the convention center. Buck and Hank are there. Buck shows up, and he missed the meet and greet. He missed a lot of the different things, and he doesn't seem to care, and Buck leaves to see Ray Roy again. So Hank's talking to Peggy, and he's just concerned about on how it's going and how Buck isn't taking this seriously, and it's making him and everybody look bad. So, you know, Peggy's like, well, you need to go, and you need to go and talk to him. You can't count on him to show on his own vomit and not show up or whatever, like, you know, or vanish for the rest of the time. So Hank goes up to the penthouse that Buck is staying in and gives him the Hall of Flame jacket to, you know, try to snap Buck back into, like, his professional demeanor. Buck tries it out, and Buck promises that he'll straighten up, and Hank leaves, and then all of a sudden, Ray Roy is heard partying it up in the next room. So Buck's like, oh, let me check that out. And he runs in, and Ray Roy's sleeping with Melanie Scoville. And Buck's upset because he was like, oh, I claimed her. And, you know, they break into a fight. Hank, while he's waiting for the elevator, overhears the fight. And he goes and he sees, you know, Buck and Ray Roy and Miss Scoville in the bedroom. And, you know, he's just like, I'm tired. I am tired of having to protect you, and you should be ashamed, Miss Scoville. And, you know, she was funny because she's like, I should be ashamed, but I never am. Hank goes to the bar, and he's drinking a Long Island iced tea. And Dale's like, I can't even believe those words came out of your mouth. Did you, like, point in the menu? And the bartender comes up and says, hey, you need to look after your friend. He's upset about two guys named Strickland, and Hank threatens to, you know, Hank's drunk. Let's just put it that way. Hank is drunk because he is just so upset, and he threatens to give an introduction that he'll never forget. So the awards take place. Hank gives a speech, but he is drunk and slurring and everything like that. And he calls Buck a drunk monster and kind of says what he thinks. And then he continues to slur, and then he throws up on the front row. Hank's finally had it with Buck is really what it seems like, which is interesting because Hank's, generally speaking, been pretty forgiving of Buck all this time. Like, we always, it's always an interesting thing because Hank is a very straight-laced, you know, narrow-focused man. He believes in, you know, his Christian faith and outstanding morals and doing everything by the book and whatnot. And Buck is just like a gambler. He goes to the strip club pretty routinely. He chases women, et cetera, et cetera. He's an alcoholic, but Hank just kind of is willing to look past all of that. I think it's always because when he saw Buck as a little bit of a father figure, because for as bad as Buck was, he definitely treated him better than Cotton did. And then, of course, Buck gave him his career. Like, you know, Hank used to just be a dude selling jeans at Jeans West until Buck came in to order some jeans and offered Hank a job in propane, and that became his career over the next 20-some-odd years. But now we finally see Hank reach his breaking point. And part of me wonders if it's because of the fact that Buck is enjoying Ray Roy, like, as a person more than he has, like, ever enjoyed Hank. Because it seems like Hank and Buck's relationship up to this point has been a combination of professional and abusive. Because, like, we've explained in other episodes, there's been episodes where, like, Buck has asked Hank to do questionable things for him, like kill emus or whatever. So, yeah, I think Buck's just, like, upset. Not Buck, but Hank is upset at Buck's behavior at such an important event. But also, I think he's also a little upset about the relationship between Ray Roy, this guy that he just met, and himself. Or, you know, how they relate with Buck.
Yeah, Hank always keeps... propane is very sacred to Hank. I feel like we all know that. So, you know, even though Buck is the person who brought him into propane, he still holds propane to this, like, holy level.
Yeah, if propane were a cult, he would be the leader.
I don't know if he'd be the leader. He might be the manager.
He'd be the assistant leader.
Yeah.
Well, hey, I mean, whatever. You know, that it's... Hank loves propane. He loves Buck, I think, because of everything Buck gave him. But I think Buck is definitely... You know, the more you watch the show, Buck is definitely abusive towards Hank. Not in the same way Cotton is, and maybe that's why Hank doesn't see it, because the only abuse he's used to is, like, how Cotton treats him, and he doesn't realize that Buck is kind of, not abusive, like, in terms of hitting him or insulting or whatnot, but Buck definitely, like, asks way more out of Hank than he should be. And usually asking Hank to, like, get him out of a lot of his trouble and whatnot, and I think, you know, Hank's just had it at this point, and he gets up, and he gets drunk. We rarely see Hank drunk in the show. This is probably one of the few times. And then he throws up. And he throws up on the Platinum Circle. You kind of see him go in that direction. So that makes Peggy's... You know, Peggy got to join them or kind of hang out with them because of her courage to ask them out. And then now, just like that, you know, this is going to make things difficult.
Though I do think if anyone can bounce back, it's Peggy. This one's a tough one, though. But before we move on, I just want to say, how much do you think Hank had to drink? Hank is like, they're always drinking in the alley. Unless this is like liquor versus
beer. Yeah, yeah. He was drinking a Long Island iced tea, which is like a lot of liquor. And he drinks beer, and he drinks Alamo beer, which I feel like probably doesn't have a high alcohol content as far as beers go. So like, he's probably drinking way more than he's used to.
That was something that just popped in my mind when I was watching the episode.
Yeah, because, I mean, I don't know canonically how much alcohol, you know, is in the Alamo beer. But, you know, I feel like it's probably akin to the real-life Lone Star beer that exists in Texas. And that's not a huge percentage. What is going to happen to Hank after embarrassing himself? We come back to the break, and Hank is in a hotel room, not sure what happened. And he says that there is a special session of the Board of Governors to kind of determine what to do about him for his behavior. You know, Buck and Ray Roy kind of make up about... Ray Roy apologizes for stealing Buck's woman, and Buck apologizes for abandoning him and not being a part of his life. So it's kind of weird that kind of evens them things out, but all right. Peggy shows up just out of nowhere to attack Buck and says that Hank is the heart of Strickland. Strickland would be nothing without Hank. And he just allowed all of this to happen. He abused Hank, and now Hank is in trouble and they need to fix it. And then Ray Roy and Buck are like, okay, let's go ahead and fix it. But first they decide to get a drink, and then they break into a bar fight, and then Ray realizes, I guess this is why Mom kept us separate, because she knew how we'd be together. And then Buck realizes this is why Hank was trying to keep Buck away from Ray Roy, because when they're together, it is pure chaos. They decide that they're going to fix things and never see each other again. We go to the Board of Governors meeting, and, you know, it's Hank and, like, five men. And they're like, well, we know you're guilty, so now we just need to decide what your punishment is. And as they're about to read out a punishment, they get a call. And they get a call, and it's from Buck. And he has set up a hospitality suite like the one in 84, which I guess was the last time he threw a great hospitality suite. So the Board of Governors is like, oh, we're going to adjourn a meeting to caucus and think about your punishment. But really, they're just headed to Buck's hospitality suite. At the Platinum Circle, Peggy is frozen out since Hank threw up on one of the women. And Peggy apologizes and acknowledges that Hank is a terrible person, which is kind of funny how she uses the terminology. But she's like, hey, I'll take you out to a spa afternoon as a make good. And we'll also get your hair done, which the one woman is happy about because she's got vomit in her hair. And she's like wearing a shawl to cover it up and everything. At the Strickland penthouse, Strickland has gotten a lot of women in the room. It's unclear if they're strippers or prostitutes, but they're definitely being paid by Buck. Like, it's kind of clear after a while. All the men start hitting on the women and have one on their lap and all that stuff. And Peggy is taking the women up to the top floor where the spa and the penthouses are. And then Buck's like, okay, good. Now that everybody here has a woman on their lap, Ray Roy locked the door. And they're like, we're going to have to talk about Hank now. And then the men realize that it's a setup. They realize it's a setup because Buck tells them that their wives are on the way and it would not look good if their wives saw them with all these women and stuff. So the men are, you know, panicking and everything. And the men eventually relent and just say, all right, you win. And so Ray Roy calls Peggy and says, hey, you can take the women to the spa. You don't have to bring them into the penthouse. We return to the hearing. The board forgives Hank, and then they decide to honor him because they say Propane owes a debt of gratitude to him. So they give him a Hall of Fame jacket, too, and now he's a Hall of Fame inductee. Propane owes a huge debt to Hank, according to them. And, you know, Hank's happy that, one, he's not in trouble, but then, two, he's now in the Hall of Fame. Outside the hotel, Ray Roy is waiting outside, and Hank lets them say their goodbye, and, you know, Cats in the Cradle's playing in the background, and Ray Roy and Buck say goodbye for good to each other. Then Ray Roy shows that he has a bunch of women in the car. So then, like, one of the last scenes is Buck runs into the car. It's like a convertible. So he runs and jumps into the back seat, and then credits roll. It's sad how Hank was going to be put in trouble just over this thing. Like, I don't know. I don't know what they were going to do, if they were going to, like, make him pay a fine or take away his license or whatever. But, you know, it kind of makes me feel bad that they're going to do it over him getting drunk or whatever. But at the same time, I like how creative Buck and Ray Roy were in saving Hank.
Well, I mean, with the wrath of Peggy, I love when Peggy comes through the doors and Buck's kind of... Peggy's pretty intimidating when she gets mad. So kind of seeing her, and then Ray Roy says something about, like, something to her, like, some, like, weird comment, and then she gives him this glance, and, like, Buck's like, duh, don't, what does he say? He says that you're punching the heavy bag now, or something like that?
Yeah, like, you're not going to win this fight.
Yeah, you can't, Peggy's kind of always out for herself, but when you mess with her family, you know, there's no stopping her.
Yeah, she definitely does. Like, she realizes the only reason Hank is in trouble is because of Buck. Because Hank was trying his absolute hardest to cover for Buck, make him look good and everything. And not just today, but, like, a lot, like, throughout his entire career. And now Hank's getting in trouble. Even though Buck was acting a fool, like, Buck's not getting in trouble. He's still getting inducted and everything. And so now he's really upset, and he's like, you know, our Peggy's really upset. It's like, yeah, Hank's in trouble. You got him into this. You got to get him out of it.
Yeah, and I'm surprised that Buck hasn't really... There's other episodes before this one, because this is the last season, I believe, of the show. But there's other episodes where Buck knows that Hank is the key to success for his business. Like, without Hank, none of this works. I just remember the episode where, do you remember where Khan owns his own car wash?
Oh, yeah. Khan gets it. Yeah. Buck
buys it.
Yep.
And then, like, Buck's a part of it, and he lends Hank out to help with the car wash, and then Khan abuses Hank. And then Buck's like, Hank is the key to the successful business.
Yep.
I don't know. It's just weird that at this time he does it. But, you know, Ray Roy definitely got into his... Not that he got into his mind, but, you know, two people shouldn't be together is them two, like they said.
Yeah, I do kind of like how they pretty much allude to that. They just say, yeah, we shouldn't have been together because we're bad for each other. Like, we both have very weak constitutions and fall to our vices really easy. We just encourage each other to turn it up to 11.
But I do think overall it's a great, great episode. It makes me want one of those jackets. Maybe I need to go in the propane business.
Yeah, and then throw a hospitality suite, and then blackmail all of the board of governors.
True. Before we end this episode, I do love the whole thing where Ray Roy's like, get their hair and nails done. And it's like this cool moment where Peggy just walks past the penthouse to the thing.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Like, that was a pretty good plan. I can't say that I would have thought of the same thing. Like, and it's also, I mean, I guess it's also such a Buck thing. Like, Buck could have just sat them down and, like, tried to have, like, a reasonable conversation and say, you know, this is all my fault, blah, blah, blah. But instead, he's just like, let's go for the quick one. I know that these men, if I say I'm throwing a hospitality suite, they're going to show up. All I need to do is blackmail them. And they will pretty much do whatever I say.
Yeah, blackmail is a lot faster. But that's Buck's mind, I feel like, you know. I also like that when they're like, don't move at all, Hank. And he's just like, I will sit here until you guys come back.
Yes, and he's like just sitting there like he's a 5-year-old in like kindergarten or whatnot, and he's been put in timeout. Like, he's just kind of just sitting there.
Yeah.
It's like an empty room, and it's just like, his chair, and then there's like a table, and then 5 chairs on the other side of the table, and that's like all that's in the room. So Hank's just kind of sitting in this empty room now. I always say I'm not a big fan of the later episodes, and in general that's true, though there are gems in the later episodes, and I would definitely say this is one of them.
Oh yeah, this one was a fun watch. I do enjoy some of the later episodes. I enjoy a lot of the King of the Hill episodes. There's very few that I'm like, I gotta watch this. So, but this is a great one.
Well, that's all I've got. How about you?
Yep, that's all I have for this episode.
Awesome. So next week, I think we're going to one of the earlier seasons. We will be covering Bobby on Track. Wait, actually, I think it's not early.
That's a later one.
Yeah, it's like in the middle. It's not late. Like, I always consider seasons 10 on to be the late seasons. But I think it's like in that kind of area where it's also not the early seasons. But yeah, we'll be doing that. And that one's a good one because I guess as we could tell from the title, it's a very Bobby heavy episode. But I don't know. It's fun to watch Bobby join a team. So an athletic team.
Yeah.
So yeah, we will talk a little bit about that. Until then, I am Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
Bye.
Bye.